For this Ascension service, we turn to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter, and read the verses 31 to 46. Upon the Ascension of the Lord Jesus, we're told in Acts chapter 1 that the heavenly messengers instructed the disciples that this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. They are pointing to His second coming, and that's why we turn on this Ascension evening to look forward to His second coming. Matthew chapter 25, the verses 31 to the end of the chapter. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was ahungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me in. Naked, and ye clothed Me. I was sick, and ye visited Me. I was in prison, and ye came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee a hungered and fed Thee, or thirsty and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee a stranger and took Thee in, or naked and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick or in prison and came unto Thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was ahungered, and ye gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me not in. Naked, and ye clothed Me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited Me not. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto Thee? Then shall He answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to Me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. This passage will also be the text for this evening's sermon. Let me reread verse 32. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And we'll take that together with what our Heidelberg Catechism teaches us in Lord's Day 19. We've come to question and answer 52 that deals with His coming again, the article of faith regarding Christ's second coming. Question and answer 52. What comfort is it to thee that Christ shall come again to judge the quick and the dead? That in all My sorrows and persecutions, with uplifted head, I look for the very same person who before offered Himself for My sake to the tribunal of God, and has removed all curse from Me, to come as judge from heaven, who shall cast all His and My enemies into everlasting condemnation, but shall translate Me with all His chosen ones to Himself, into heavenly joys and glory. Thus far. Dear congregation, sometimes when children are playing together, they imagine things. And they may ask, what if this happens? What then? Or what if that happens? What then? I think we all ask these kind of questions. What if questions? What if I'm late for work? What if I have an accident? What if I fail an exam? What if someone found out? Now, sometimes the things that we were afraid might happen or had imagined to happen do not happen. But this evening we want to consider not what will happen if Christ returns, but what will happen when Christ returns to judge. That's what you can write over the sermon, when Christ returns to judge. We'll see three things. First of all, His coming. Secondly, His dividing. And thirdly, His pronouncing. When Christ returns to judge, we'll see, first of all, His coming. Secondly, His dividing. And thirdly, His pronouncing. Yes, the Lord Jesus is coming again. The Bible speaks of it quite often. The Old Testament does, and the New Testament does, the prophets and the apostles, and the Lord Jesus speaks of it too. In Matthew 24 and Matthew 25, He speaks of it some 9 times. And here we are told something about His second coming. Yes, what will happen when He comes? Verse 31 and 32. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. Let's look at what this says about Christ's coming. And we can see a number of things. For one thing, He will come in glory. He will come in glory. Yes, the Lord Jesus is speaking about His coming and His coming in glory. And when He does, in verse 31, He refers to Himself as the Son of Man. That title is His preferred title for Himself. He uses this title in the Gospels most often, more than 80 times, the Son of Man. It's a title taken from Daniel 7, and it points to His coming glory. And He speaks of it here, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory. Boys and girls, Christ's second coming will be different than His first coming. His second coming on the clouds of heaven will be different from His first coming into the manger at Bethlehem. In His first coming, He came in humility. In His second coming, He will come in glory. In His first coming, He came to suffer on the cross. In His second coming, He will come with the crown. He who came in great humility will come again in great glory. Yes, and it will be completely different from His first coming. It's hard to describe the glory that He has and the glory with which He comes. Isaiah received a glimpse of it in chapter 6 of the prophecies of Isaiah. The three disciples received a glimpse of it on the Mount of Transfiguration. John received a glimpse of it on the island of Patmos. He will come in blazing glory and majesty, like the light of the sun. Do you see why we need His blood and righteousness to cover us? Because otherwise we cannot stand before Him. He will come in glory. Secondly, with all the holy angels. Verse 31, and all the holy angels with Him. Yes, the holy angels will accompany Him, boys and girls. Those heavenly beings that are in the presence of God day and night and worship Him and cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. They will be His attendants. And not just a few of them. And not just some of them, not just most of them, but All of them will be with him. Thousands of angels. 10,000s of angels. Can you try and picture it? One day you'll see this. You will look. Maybe you'll be standing by your kitchen window. Or maybe you'll be on the job site. And you'll see the Lord Jesus coming in His glory. And wherever you look besides Jesus, there are these holy angels accompanying Him. And you'll see more angels and more angels. And why are they there? Not only to accompany Jesus and to show His majesty, but these angels have a task to do. They have something to perform. One of their tasks is to gather the elect. That's told us in Matthew 24, verse 31. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's the one thing that these angels will do. They will gather God's people. Believers who have died will be raised to life. Those who are living will be brought to the throne of Christ. They'll gather the elect. But they'll also gather the reprobate. Matthew 13, verse 41. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather them that offended and them which do iniquity. Young people, they will place their hand on you. They're going to bring you to the throne of judgment. How will they handle you? And where will they bring you? Yeah, to the throne of Jesus. The throne of glory. That's the third thing we're told. The throne of Jesus will be a throne of glory. Verse 31, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. It's what a king does from time to time. Oh, not that often in our times maybe, but from time to time still monarchs sit on a throne for delivering the throne speech maybe, but from time to time a monarch sits on his throne, and in the Old Testament we're told of Solomon on his throne. It's where a king sits when he pronounces judgment. I know the throne of Solomon was glorious, but the throne of Jesus is far more glorious. He shall sit, our text says, upon the throne of glory. You realize, now, in the here and now, in the day of grace, we can come to His throne of grace. We're welcome there. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, we are to come, in the words of Hebrews 4, verse 16, boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But when Jesus comes on the clouds of heaven, it won't be a throne of grace anymore. You won't be able to ask for help and for grace and mercy and for forgiveness. It will be too late. Then the Savior will then be the judge. That's what Paul says in Acts 17, verse 31. He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. Yes, it will be a judgment throne. He will judge in righteousness. Here there is so much injustice, and it grieves us that the innocent suffer and the guilty go unpunished. They can even evade arrest, maybe. They might be able to live out their days somewhere in some corner of this world with a different name. But judgment day is coming. Jesus is coming. And He's the King of Proverbs 20, verse 8, that says, a king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. And then a fourth thing is mentioned. All nations will be gathered. Verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations. All nations will be gathered before this glorious tribunal of God. And then some say that they will come as nations before his judgment throne. Nations that had less privileges and less gospel light, and other nations that had great privileges and great gospel light, and they'll be judged on the basis of their gospel privileges or lack of gospel privileges. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 12 verse 41, the Ninevites will rise up in judgment at that day. It's Matthew 12, 41. The people of Sodom will rise up in judgment at that day. It will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in that day than for Capernaum. Great nations will be summoned. Small nations will be summoned. The people of the United States will rise in judgment on that day. The people of Canada will rise in judgment on that day. The people of Ontario will be called. No nation will be left out. No state, no province will be left out. No community will be left out. No person will be skipped. No person will be passed over. Everyone will be there. You will be there. I will be there. You haven't forgotten this, have you? That Jesus is coming again in glory. He's coming to judge. In righteousness, he's coming to judge you and me. Is coming. Secondly, his dividing. His dividing, second part of verse 32, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Sheep and goats. How often does the Lord not compare his people to sheep? Animals that are among the most vulnerable. Animals that can't survive without a shepherd. Animals that can't protect themselves. They can't defend themselves. Animals that can't escape danger. Animals that easily get lost. Animals that depend on the care of a shepherd. And isn't that what describes the true believer? As someone who's come to entrust themselves completely in the care of the Good Shepherd. The one who gave his life for the sheep. The one who calls them by name. They've come to recognize his voice in the gospel. And they follow him because of the love the shepherd has shown to them. And they need him to lead them to green pastures. And they need him to make them lie down there. And when they stray, they need to be brought back to the fold. Oh, boys and girls, don't you want to be a sheep of this shepherd? Set to the right side of the Lord Jesus on the day of judgment. Sheep of the shepherd. But there are also goats. Goats are animals that have more strength than sheep. They have horns. They're not that dependent on a shepherd. And goats often leave behind a trail of destruction. Goats are animals that try to dominate the sheep. They're hurtful, harmful to the sheep. And then you see that before the second coming of Jesus on the clouds of heaven, the sheep and goats are not separated. The church is made up of sheep and goats. Here, the goats can make it look like they belong to the flock of the Lord Jesus. Here, they can mingle, the carnal can mingle with the spiritual, and the goats can sometimes do much damage in the church and wreak havoc in the church and wound God's children in the church. But it will not always be like that. It will not continue like that forever. A time of separation is coming. I mean, that's how it is in the Middle Eastern flock, with a Middle Eastern shepherd who would at the end of the day divide the sheep from the goats. And so the Lord Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats on that great day. One will be put to the left, another will be put to his right. The wicked will be separated from the righteous, the believer separated from the unbeliever. The people who are now members of the same family will be separated. People who worked in the same office building, taught at the same school, will be separated. People who belong to the same church will be separated. The husband may be on one side, the wife on the other side. A father may be on one side, a son on another side. A mother may be on one side, a daughter on another side. A brother may be on one side and a sister on another side. Your friends may not all be on the same side. Your companions will not all be on the same side. Oh, thankfully, there will be companions and friends that know what it is to be a friend of God's people and a friend of God. They'll be taken to the right side. Thankfully, there will be siblings that will be together on the right side. Thankfully, there will be families united at the right side by the grace of God, having been made sheep of Christ. That would be a great privilege, don't you think? That's something to seek for, isn't it? Parents, that you all would know the grace of God in your heart and life, that you would be an undivided family in heaven. By the grace of God, undivided by your love for the shepherd and his love for you. But you need to know that there are two groups, and only two. You will either be set on his right hand or on his left hand. There's no third group to which you can belong. There are only two groups, sheep and goats. Believers, unbelievers. And where will you be? On which side will you be? With the sheep or with the goats? And you know, on that day, the judgment will be irreversible. It will be permanent. After all, it says here in our text, he shall set. It has the idea of something that is firm, something that cannot be altered, something that cannot be changed. It's fixed. That's how it's translated in Acts 17. He hath appointed a day. He has fixed a day. It's set. That is how it will be at Christ's throne of judgment. The unregenerate will be on the left hand, and there will be no sliding to the right hand if you're a goat, and no possibility of sneaking to the right side if you're a goat. There will be no second chances. There will be no appeals court. There will be no possibility of overturning the judgment. What a day it will be. And many who thought themselves to belong to the sheep of Christ will be among the goats. And there will be those also who feared that they would be with the goats, who nonetheless trusted with their guilty soul in the Lord Jesus, and they'll find themselves on that day among the sheep, changed by His grace, but lacking assurance. Do you see why it's so important to belong to Christ? And why you want to know if you belong to Christ or not? You need to know where you'll stand. You don't want to go wrong here. Your eternal welfare depends on it. You don't want to be deceived. You don't want to deceive yourself. Where will you be? Where will He set you? On His left hand or on His right hand? With the goats or with the sheep? Do you still have that rebellious, wicked heart of a goat that's hurtful to the sheep? Do you present yourself as one of the flock of Christ, but you actually don't recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd? And you don't love the voice of the Good Shepherd, and you don't follow the pathway of the Good Shepherd in humility and love and faith? Maybe someone says, but when I think over my life and I think on my sin, I feel sometimes so goat-like in my thinking and in my doing. And it's true. But the Lord knows how to take a goat and change it to a sheep. After all, He's rich in mercy. He knows how to take a David and a Manasseh and a Saul of Tarsus, breathing out threatenings and slaughters, not caring about the welfare of Christ and His church. And He knows how to change him and make him into a meek and humble sheep. And so many others He's done it for. And He can save. That's why the Lord Jesus went to the cross. The Lord Jesus can put it this way. He became the scapegoat of Leviticus 16 to remove the curse and to bring sinners like you and me to enter into the sheepfold of Christ by the powerful work of the Holy Spirit, so that you begin to seek for mercy in the wounds of Christ, in the substitutionary sacrifice of this scapegoat, of this Lamb of God, is seeking mercy in Christ as a guilty soul. You know, a goat has never done that. Someone who's remained a goat, I mean, has never done that. But the sheep of Christ do that. With all their sin and their guilt and all their failings and falterings and the times in which they've been insensitive and unconcerned for others, they need the shepherd who laid down His life for His sheep. They need Him to find them. They need Him to save them. They need Him to renew them. And then they will hear His voice. Yes, there is not only His coming, His dividing, but there is also His pronouncing. Our third point, His pronouncing. The Lord Jesus will speak on that day of judgment. First to the sheep on His right hand, verse 34. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, and they may hear wonderful things. For one thing, they may hear Him say, come. It's a voice that his sheep recognize. It's the voice of him who has spoken to them in the gospel, and it's the voice of him who has called them in his grace and said, "Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let him that is athirst come." And, oh, by the Spirit's grace, you couldn't stay away. You were drawn by that voice. Couldn't explain it, how and why, but brought to him, weak and wounded maybe, a trembling and fearing maybe. But you came, like one of the sheep in the Old Testament, David, in the words of Psalm 51, pleading, "O God, according to thy grace, be merciful to me." Coming like a guilty sheep, praying, "Cleanse me from my sin. Wash me, make me clean within." They came to shelter in this shepherd, the one who gave his life for the sheep. Oh, it's true, they still wandered. They still had indwelling sin. They went astray. But they heard the voice of the shepherd calling them again, drawn up onto his shoulders again. Yes, coming to him in faith, they now may come to him with sight. And then they may hear his voice again. And he says, "Come, ye blessed of the Father." Oh, what surprising words. For they see that they don't deserve the blessing of the Father. They deserve the curse. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. They've come to see that they deserve the curse, and they've been transgressors of that law, but the Father has set his love upon them, and the Father of all mercies has blessed them with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, as Ephesians 1 says. They're blessed by the Father through the blood of Christ shed on the cross. And then they may hear more. "Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." They may inherit the heavenly kingdom. Boys and girls, the Father house with the many mansions. The heavenly kingdom described in Revelation 21 and 22. Adorned with all sorts of precious stones, with a river of water of life flowing through its midst, the place where God wipes away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, Revelation 21. They may receive an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1, verse 7. And then the Lord Jesus explains himself. He points to the evidence of grace, the evidence of faith and love in their lives, verses 35 and 36. "For I was a-hungered, and ye gave me meat. And I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." The pronouncement will be according to evidence, especially their work of love. You see, the evidence will not be the words that we spoke, but what works we did, and how did we do them. It's about what Galatians 5 or 6 says, faith working by love. No, not that their works are the basis for their justification. That cannot be. That is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. But this isn't the basis for their justification. This is the proof of their justification. This is not the foundation of their salvation. This is the fruit of their salvation. After all, they're surprised by this. Verse 37, "Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in?" Yes, they're surprised. They're astonished.
What have I ever done for the Lord? When did I do this? They find it difficult to believe. Of themselves, they feel like unprofitable servants. But you see, the shepherd, the king, is sketching their character and he's sketching their actions that shows what lives in their heart. They're surprised that the Lord took notice of them, and it shows that they did it out of love. That they did not do this to merit anything, but out of gratitude. It's the fruit of His grace, it's the result of a change of heart, that out of love they have come to care for. They've come to give a meal to, a cup of cold water to, some food, a clothing, companionship, willing to visit the loneliest of God's people, the most bowed down, even of the little ones, the most insignificant of Christ's people. They had love for them. But He will also say something else. But then to those on the left hand, verse 31, depart. Verse 41, depart. It's a strong word. But it should not surprise them to hear it, for it's what they kept saying to Jesus all their life long. They came under the preaching of the gospel when they had their conscience speaking to them. And when they heard of the salvation in Jesus, but they said it in the words of Job 21 verse 14, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. We will not have this king to rule over us. Young people, do you see? There is nothing worse than pushing the Lord Jesus away. Pushing the Lord Jesus out of your life. To say to Him, go away. Leave me alone. But those who kept saying it to Jesus in this life will hear it from His lips. Depart from me. Ye curse it. Yes, ye curse it. They're not blessed at all, but cursed because they have not only disobeyed the law, but also the gospel. As Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 7, that the Lord Jesus, when He returns from heaven, and Paul says this, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them. Who are they? Two things are said of them. Taking vengeance on them who know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not just that they never heard the gospel. It's not that they didn't know about the gospel. One thing that seals their condemnation is that they did not obey the gospel. The gospel calls us to submission. It calls us to obedience. It calls to respond in faith and love. But they sat under the word, and the Lord Jesus came to them with offers of mercy and convicting them. But they said, not now, maybe later. And they postponed their soul and they postponed their salvation. But the outcome is they do not obey. Is that what must be said of you? Have not obeyed up till now. Have not obeyed His call. If that's how it ends, then the Lord will send you into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Fire. That's where the goats go, boys and girls. Into hellfire. Everlasting fire. Fire that never goes out. And You'll be, if you remain a goat, you'll be in the company of the devil and his angels. Oh, what a terrible end. You see the urgency to escape the wrath to come. And then the Lord Jesus shows what their lives were like. I was a-hungered and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger and ye took me not in. Naked and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison and ye visited me not. Do you see what it says to them? They kept saying, no! No! In the face of the needs and cares of others, Jesus is saying, you kept saying not just no to others, you kept saying no to me. They too are surprised. They didn't expect this answer. They were sure that they should have been on the other side, and there's no humility, there's arrogance and pride, and they're still full of rebellion. I mean, look at them. They want to argue at the judgment seat with the Lord. How did we fail? What did I omit to do? Lord, when saw we thee a-hungered or a-thirst or a-stranger or naked or sick or in prison, did not minister unto thee? But the Lord Jesus remained a stranger to them. To them he was not someone worthy to be trusted, someone worthy to be loved. You see, they were blind to Christ and blind to the family of Christ and blind to the people of Christ, still filled with enmity for Christ, and that's why they must depart. What would they do in heaven anyways? With their proud hearts and their goat-like nature? Having said to him, depart while it was the day of grace, they will have to depart from him on the day of judgment. Friends, what will he say to you and to me? We will all come before that judgment throne of Christ. The line will move. The one is sent to the left. The other is sent to the right. And you'll come nearer and nearer and stand before him. And what will it be? To the left or to the right? Will he say, come, or depart? Notice, he doesn't say, depart from me today in the gospel. Today the gospel still sounds. Today the gospel call is, come unto me. Come now, let us reason together, Isaiah 1 verse 18. Come now, there is mercy in Christ, full and free for the vilest of the vile, the most wicked, the oldest and the youngest, with unbelief and sin. But come now. While he proffers peace and pardon, let us hear his voice today, lest if we our hearts should harden, we should perish in the way. Shall we not ask for grace and mercy and his Spirit to draw us and to give us legs to come to him? For what a blessing it is to shelter in him. What a blessing it is to shelter in him now. To be changed in heart and in life, and to have your sins pardoned, to be adopted into his family, and to know his love that embraces you. Yeah. This great day will be a day of division, a day of separation, but you know where the separation actually takes place already? Separation doesn't just take place at the great white throne. Separation actually takes place at the old rugged cross already. Golgotha is the place of division. Remember, there were two murderers hanging next to Jesus. but only one of them begged for mercy. Remember me. Shall we not ask for that too? Coming to Jesus, who suffered and died, shall we not ask for this old and young, parents and children, shall we not ask for this with a thief on the cross? O Lord, remember me in grace. Let me salvation see the grace thou showest to thy saints. That grace revealed to me too. Amen. Let us give thanks and pray. O most good-doing and gracious Lord, what solemn words thou hast spoken to us on this Ascension night. Oh, but also what comforting words, what gospel words. We pray thee that whatever our needs may be and our spiritual condition may be, we would learn to entrust ourselves to thy, and learn to entrust ourselves to thyself. With that goat-like nature, with that straying sheep-like character, to say, Lord, remember me in grace. To maybe even be afraid of having to be a goat on that day, but to flee with guilty sinners to the Lord Jesus, the great scapegoat who is the Lamb of God. And we pray that we may be brought to Him for the first time and by renewal. That's actually what one that remains a goat will never do. And grant that there we may confide in those wounds and in His blood and covered with His righteousness, then even the demonstration of love and compassion is worked by Thee and a gift from Thee. And He only did it perfectly. And He covers in the sight of God all my sins and iniquity. Lord, apply Thy word. Make us restless if we don't know Christ. And comfort Thine own at the cross, at the old rugged cross, so that we may anticipate that great white throne, anticipating the grace Thou showest to Thy saints. That's what I go to inherit. Not because of me, but because of Him. Remember us in this evening, and pardon graciously all our sins in preaching and praying and praising. In Jesus' name, Amen.